Welcome to the Sport of Kings podcast. On this week's pod, we are handicapping the late pick five from Del Mar on Pacific Classic Day, Saturday, August 22nd. This is show number 78, August 21st, 2020. I'm Scott Carson, founder of Sport of Kings. And I'm joined by my co-host, Hall of Fame handicapper, Chris Larmy. Chris, how are you this morning?
Doing great. Really looking forward to talking about the races this weekend. Great card at Del Mar. And we are only just over 2 weeks away from the Kentucky Derby. So good times for a horse player.
Absolutely. And we also have a special guest. He's a professional horse player. He's qualified for the NHC 16 times and finished fourth 1 year, the year his brother won. By now, some people will know he's Duke Matisse. Duke, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Scott. It's good to be here.
Now, have you been handicapping? Have you been betting a lot lately, or are you, you know, laying off a little bit?
No, I'm probably betting more than ever. I'm home pretty much 24/7, except when I'm golfing, and so I've been really sending it in the last couple months here. So, I mean, it's been good. It's been, you know, the racing's been good, and it's good to have Del Mar on the weekends and Saratoga in 5 days, and sprinkle in a little Gulfstream and a few others and keeps you really busy.
Awesome. Well, I just have a couple of quick questions for you. And then, you know, Chris may have a question or two. The first thing I wanted to ask you is, I know Paul makes his own figures, and I'm sensing that you use those, but I was wondering if you do your own figures, and if you don't, do you use Paul's?
Yeah, Paul and I have been using, you know, I've been using, well, I figure since, I don't know, going back to, let's see, 1990, I think it was two, he started working for Andy Beyer and Mark Hopkins when they tried to branch off and do the Racing Times, I believe it was, and Paul was doing like 90% of their tracks at the time. So I always had access to his speed figures, which, you know, back then I was probably in, you know, my low 20s, and I wasn't doing as much, you know, betting because I was working for my brother on the racetrack. So, I mean, we built a database that we use to, you know, to handicap, and we built that like 20 years ago. And it's just, it grows and grows, and we try to keep up with the and make it better every day. So he does different things with his figures, you know, to try and make them better. And you know, it's great to have him as my, you know, my go-to speed figure guy. I do most of the trip handicapping and that kind of stuff, and data entry, and a lot of other things that, you know, contribute to the site. So we pretty much work equally, but it's definitely all him with the figures.
Cool. And then I have an interesting question that I should probably ask a lot of people, but I just thought of it today. What handicapping angle do you think is the biggest red herring?
The biggest what?
Red herring, like the thing that people take into account that are handicapping that they probably shouldn't.
Probably jockeys. I think the only way I use jockeys is probably if a jockey's on a horse like that, he, for a trainer that he probably doesn't normally ride for, that's something that to look for or something. But I think jockeys are pretty much, you know, just passengers. They're all Well, I mean, they're slightly better than others when you get, when they're at the top level, I just don't think that it's necessary. I think trainers are much more important than jockeys.
All right. Chris, did you have any questions for Duke?
Well, I know Duke loves jockeys, so I'm not surprised at that response. But yeah, I know that you're big on biases, both you and Paul. So my question for you, since you've been closely following Del Mar, are there any biases on either track, you know, of any type that have been strong, especially recently, that the players should be aware of this weekend going into the big card for Pacific Classic Day?
I think the turf course pretty a lot firmer the last week or so, and I think speed's starting to do a lot better on turf than it did the first few weeks. On the dirt, I would stay away from the rail. I think the outside part of the track has been better. Not so far wide, but just, you know, a couple paths off the rail, I think, has been very very much the place to be. I mean, if you see most of the two turn races, the horses are pretty much staying off the rail, you know, going wire, a lot of wire to wires lately in like the 2-3 path. I think the horses that get down inside get bogged down a little bit. So, I mean, it's hard to predict who's going to be there, but I think stock is the way to go on the dirt, and look for inside speed or inside like pocket sitters on, you know, on the turf.
Great. Okay. We'll have to keep that in mind as we go through the races today.
All right. Well, we're doing the pick five on Pacific Classic Day, and it looks like a great sequence. I think it's a playable sequence. The first race is the seventh. It's the Del Mar Handicap, a grade 2 mile and 3/8 on turf. Purse of $200,000 for 3-year-olds and up. And Duke, as our guest, we'd love to have you get us started.
This is a great race. Very competitive. Even though United's going to be quite a big favorite, I think he might be beatable. I would definitely use him in my pick five, but I'm going to try a little bit of spread in this race. I like Red King the best. I think since his last few races, he's really gotten sharp. I know he went a much longer distance last time, but I don't even think he likes to go that long. I think he's pretty sharp. He's a definite use for me. I like that he gets Rispoli, who's riding Lights Out down at Del Mar. So the horses I would use in the pick five would definitely be United, Red King, and I think my backup would be Originaire. Originaire's just been, he's been in all the big races in Eddie Reed last time. He didn't run as good last time, but there was no pace in that race that you just like stalked the slow pace, and Originaire didn't have much chance. So pretty much I'll use those three starting out my pick five.
All right. Well, I agree on all three of those. Chris, what did you think here?
Well, I agree that United, he's a good horse, but he seems to always get perfect trips and barely win. So he could do that again because he drew the rail and he has Pratt on board, although Duke might disagree on that matter as much, but Pratt's been riding pretty well. The equalizer, though, is the weight. He's spotting quite a bit of weight to the rest of the field, from 3 to 9 pounds. And so that makes me willing to take a shot against him. There are two horses that Duke didn't mention that I like. And I agree, the ones he mentioned are clearly the other contenders, but there's two others I would put in there. One is the 3-horse Combatant, who he's never won on the turf. But there's reasons to think he might really like going this longer distance on the turf. I mean, he is bred for the turf. If you watch him run, he has sort of a turf action, sort of this climbing with the front legs action that you see on turf horses. He has some pretty good races on turf, including one where he got beat a nose at Kentucky Downs. I think really importantly is all those turf races were at a mile and 16th, and you really need a burst of speed. He doesn't have that. He's more of a grinding type. And I think that's the sort of running style that's really cut out for a longer distances, like a mile and a quarter or more. And if you look on his dirt form, his best race on the dirt was the second time he went a mile and a quarter in the Santa Anita Handicap. He won that grade one race. I think that really shows that he likes those longer distances. He did go a mile and a quarter one other time, but that was in the Derby on a sloppy track that he clearly didn't like. That was the worst race of his life. And so I think going long on the turf for the first time might be exactly what this horse wants. And I expect to see a good race. I mean, his last two races don't look very good, but he has legitimate excuses. I mean, he was in over his head last time. He was going too short. And he reared up at the gate and spotted, you know, that really good field five or six lengths. He made a little bit of a move and then kind of flattened out. But he had no chance there. And he had a horrible trip when at Oaklawn. And again, that was going shorter distance. So to me, he's really interesting. Back on the turf, the first chance he gets to go. This is the farthest he'll have ever run. And I think he really will appreciate the surface and the distance. And there's one other horse I like, but I'll toss it back to Scott just in case he likes this horse. I don't want to take his thunder, but I do have one more I'll talk about if you don't bring it up. So I'm all about the three combatant in here.
All right. Well, that's a bold pick, and I'd be surprised if he was 8-1 since he's 0-8 on turf. So he's probably going to go off higher than that. I landed on Originaire, and I'm really between Originaire and Red King. And I think Originaire is going to be higher than 5-1 because he was almost 5-1 in his last race against United in a 6-horse field. And this is a much bigger field, and he's fifth in that race. So he ran a number 3 races ago that is as fast as United has ever run. And he's circling back to that. The trainer, I just noticed Jeff Mullins has... He's done really well with these marathon turf horses. So I believe that he's bringing this horse up to his best race. And I understand why Rispoli went over to Red King. He's had a lot more success with D'Amato. But with this jockey, Sadio, he's showing a lifetime profit, and they won a grade one with River Boyne. So even in his last race, I thought he was uncomfortable and rank into the first turn. And that might have compromised him. And he was surrounded by horses the entire trip. It was like, if I was on him during that race, I would be going nuts thinking like that, you know, he has to get out. Like, how's he going to get out of that? And he didn't, you know, he just kind of, the starch was out of him. So I do think he's pointed to his best race. And Red King just ran a small best race at 1¾ miles. And I mean, he looks like he's just getting it, you know, and he's getting 6 pounds from United. So I would use those two. And I'll just mention them. And probably one of them is your horse, Chris, the other horse you like. I would also use, because I think this is, could be a great pick five sequence, I would use another mystery, Warden Jerry, Proud Pedro, and Oscar Dominguez.
Hey, Duke, anything else you want to jump in and add?
I think Oscar Dominguez has a chance, but he just never seems to get there against the good ones. But I do think he has a chance. Combatant just hasn't... just hasn't ever won on the grass. That's the concern I have with him. I do think he'll like the distance. I just don't know about the turf. But I mean, it's good. I think Scott agreed with, you know, I like Red King, I like Originaire, and I think United's gonna be a little overplayed. So I think those are the right two plays.
Yeah, on Originaire, I agree with everything you all said, and especially he did have this kind of crowded trip. The thing I don't like about Originaire, I like him, I'm going to use him, but the big negative is the post 10 where you start a 3-turn race starting near the first turn. That's going to be tough, not lose a lot of ground. He's got a pretty good rider, but you know, if he's 3 wide in the first turn and 3 wide in the second turn, I don't see how he wins the race, but that's my big concern there. The other horse I do like, and Scott did mention him, the 6-horse Proud Pedro. This is a horse I think really is one of these horses that's going to get better and better with age. He still has upside as a 4-year-old. He's bred to go long. His best races, his two best races have been at 1.25 miles, and his last one at 1.38 miles. He didn't beat much, and they went slow early, but man, did he explode late. And so, you know, I really think he's going to run well. He's never run a bad race, really, and I think he's going to keep getting better. I don't know if he's quite ready to win, but I wouldn't be surprised at all if he's right there and he's really, he makes a big move late. So he's the other one I like, the 6 Proud Pedro.
And 12-1 morning line. I think he's pretty much a must include. And based on the racing flow numbers that I use sporadically, he overcame a serious speed flow, positive speed flow in his last race and still won the race. And so he's therefore an upgrade by them.
Yeah, he looked really good. I mean, he really exploded. Now, part of that's a little bit of a mirage because they went so slow early, but he was dead last and he just blew past the field. One horse, North County guy who's in this race, kind of dug in a little bit late, but it was pretty impressive. Again, that wasn't a strong field, though. These are tougher horses, but I think he's the sort that's going to improve, and he keeps getting better with distance. So, you know, he's one you want to include.
All right. Well, 1-for-1 at the distance. So he's going for 2-for-2. Let's move to the 8th race at Del Mar. It's an allowance optional claimer, 1 mile on the dirt, purse of 59,000 for 3-year-olds and up. Chris, why don't you get us started here?
All right. Yeah, I really like the 4 horse, Take the 101 on this race. He's a horse that's really bred for the turf, but if you look at his past performances, he's really much better on the dirt, even though they continued to try him on the turf because of the breeding. And he's coming in off a turf effort, which was actually, the from a speed figure standpoint, the best he's ever run on turf despite some trouble. And if you look at his past performances, he typically runs really well when they go from turf to dirt. So now he's coming off his best turf effort ever, back to the surface he prefers, the main track, the dirt, and he should really run a good race. He's also 2-for-2 on the Del Mar main track, and he looks like the controlling speed in the race, and he actually has some real talent. As a 2-year-old, he ran a really fast race, and he repeated that as a 3-year-old. It was kind of on the Triple Crown trail a little bit, and but he's more of a sprinter, miler type. And then he was off for a full year, and he came back, and a few races back, he ran well. And I just think he could clear early and control the race and win at a price. So to me, Take the 101 will hopefully continue his undefeated streak on the Del Mar main track. And based on what Duke said, hopefully they don't grab the rail. They stay in the 2 or 3 path, and he can wire the field.
2-for-3, making the turf to dirt move. Duke, where did you land here?
Well, I'm not against Take the 101 because he looks like he might be the controlling speed, but I like a horse just a little bit better. I like Kershaw. I think last time Kershaw raced against Dark Vader, he's actually in the Pacific Classic. He was on the rail that day, the whole race. And I thought that that compromised him a little bit. I think he's was coming up to his best race after he ran on the grass going 1.75 miles. I'm just throwing that one out. But his previous races before that, I thought he got some poor rides, one from Sadio and one from one time he had a tough post with Colin at Oakland. I just think with D'Amato coming back to California, this horse, you know, coming off that dead rail trip last time, he's just going to stalk, Take the 101, and hopefully just grind him up, you know, late in the race. I think it's probably my top 2 choices, because if Take the 101 gets loose, I think he might be tough to beat. The only other horse that I'm using in the race is Potanico, who finished ahead of Kershaw last time, but I believe with a better trip, Kershaw could get from the outside post stalking. I think he'll get a much better trip than Potanico will get here. And so I don't know what number is Kershaw, 8?
Yeah.
8-4-3 is what I like in that race.
Okay. Well, I'm going to echo everything that Chris said about take the 101. I wrote that I'll probably single him. He was fast as a 2-year-old. He never really broke through, but 3 races ago, he ran the best race of his in 2 years. It was a wire job at a mile, and it was a kind of a contended pace. So it's not like he needs an easy lead. He's circling back to that number. And I mean, I'd be surprised if he's as high as 8-1 because it looks pretty obvious. I mean, he's the clear speed. So, and every time he goes turf to dirt, he runs huge, even though like he's only 2 for 3 doing that move. But when he was a 2-year-old, he ran a huge number, even though he didn't win going turf to dirt. So, yeah, he's a single for me. And I respect Kershaw. He's got a big number to come back to. So I don't know. Maybe I don't think I'll be able to make a play where I use both of them, but certainly something to think about.
Yeah, I agree. Those are the two. Kershaw might throw me a curve and beat take the 101. So I think he's the one you want to include in the exactas for sure. And I agree. He did have the worst of it in the last race. The other horse, just a worth mentioning, who has talent, coming off a long layoff. Hopefully this is more of a prep. And he's the one that might put some pace pressure on the 4. I'm hoping they don't. I hope they're content just to get a race into him here and not, you know, push him too hard early. And Pratt tends to be patient, so hopefully that will be the case. That horse is a little bit of a wild card, could mess things up. But if take the 101 can, I think it'll be really tough. And if someone's going to run him down, you're talking about the 8-horse Kershaw.
You were talking about Extra, right?
Extra Hope. What did I say?
You just didn't mention which horse it was.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. The 6-horse Extra Hope. Yeah. The 6-horse Extra Hope. That's the one I'm a little nervous about. I hope they don't try to push the pace with him. If they're patient with that horse, I think that really will help take the 101.
All right. Seems like it's pretty cut and dry for us on that race. The more wide open race is coming up. It's the 9th. It's the Del Mar Oaks, a grade 1, 1 1/8 on turf, purse of $250,000 for 3-year-old fillies. And Duke, what did you think here?
Well, this is a very competitive race for sure. I think these 2 foreign horses are going to throw us a curve here. Like, I guess Kershaw, had a good night last night pitching. He threw like 10 strikeouts or something. But anyway, these 2 foreign horses, Miss Extra, I watched her tape. She didn't do too much running in her last race, but the time before she ran lights out in France. And the other horse, Neige Blanche, I like the fact that she was going left-handed turns last time against a weaker field, but it was, I believe it was 1.25 miles. And she just sat and just pounced on him at the end. And I like the way she finished. I'm not sure she was beating too much there, but I just like the way she did it. The 2 that I like from the United States are Laura's Light and Geechee. And, you know, they ran 1-2 last time, but now they draw outside posts. So Laura's Light might have to use some of her speed early to get over, which I think she's capable of, but there's a lot of speed to her inside. And I'm not sure she's going to get the right trip today. And same thing, you know, with Geechee being in the outside folks, she's going to have to go back to last most likely and make a run. So I think the 2 foreign horses might be the way to go, especially since Pratt jumped on Neige Blanche and Rispoli jumped on Miss Extra. I think those 2 horses might be really live in there.
Well, I'm just glad you didn't mention a horse that I wasn't including already, because I don't want my ticket to get too fat. Chris, what did you think?
I pretty much agree with everything Duke just said. I think we're on the same page. I like Miss Extra better than the other foreign horse. I won't even try to pronounce her name because I'll probably mess it up. But the 3-horse Miss Extra and 8. because Miss Extra, I like the, I don't like horses cutting back and distance from Europe. Especially this horse, the 8 horse, is a Neige Blanche. How would you pronounce that, Scott?
Neige Blanche. Neige Blanche. Blanche.
That's what I went with.
Okay. So, you know, she started her career going 1.25 miles, and she's never gone any shorter than that. So, I'm just a little leery of coming to the U.S. where they're going fast early and and kind of flying. She might have a lot left to do. Whereas Miss Extra, you know, she was a miler sprinter, and her one bad race was her last one when they went 1 mile and 5/16. So I kind of attribute that to the distance, where she's more of the, you know, mile and eighth type. So of the two, and she has a better post, I would kind of prefer Miss Extra of the Euros. And I agree, you know, the top riders get on board. They're group winners in Europe. You know, the West Coast turf horses typically aren't strong. So I'd be surprised if the local horses can beat both of those unless they just really have bad trips. But of the local horses, I think the two best are the ones that Duke mentioned, and they did draw outside, which probably doesn't help their chances.
Well, this is a wide open race, and I decided to go, since it does look like a hot pace. I mean, it looks like, I think Laura's Light might be able to survive it because she's proven to be a quality filly. But because it's going to be a fast pace, I want to at least lean with my top pick as with a closer. So I'm going to roll with California Kook at 15-1. Has a good post position, can close a little bit slower than these, but you know, it looks like she just keeps on improving a little bit, and I can see her winning this race. It's surprising. So I wouldn't play a ticket without her. And the other one that I'm interested in is Red Lark, who can also close, and is 12-1 morning line. I did actually, Duke, I had to add Giddy to my list because not only did she improve big time last race, but the DRF workout report, which is already out, has her not losing a step out of the big effort and reaching out in a productive fashion. So like maybe this horse is just coming into her own. So I would include her too. And I was interested in knowing.
Yeah, I think you have to.
Yeah. Do you use workout reports?
Yeah, I do. I usually, in California, I usually use Andy Harrington's report.
Okay.
It's the National Turf, I believe is what it's called. Yeah. But we actually do a lot with workouts with our database. We actually hire guys that we have a guy that's at Saratoga every year. We have a guy that's at Churchill. We have a guy that's, you know, in Gulfstream. We do a lot with workouts because, I mean, in the past 4 or 5 years, the workouts mean so much. These guys are, it's like they're running races between races. They work them so hard. So I think they're very, you need to have some kind of support. And that's good to hear that Giddy came back and worked well, because that was, she did run her best race of her life last time by a mile.
Chris, did you have any more to add on this race?
No, I pretty much agree. California Kook, I would agree, is the one really long priced of the local horses that I'm probably the most interested in. I don't particularly like the rider change there with Maldonado going long on the turf's not a good fit, I don't think, for most horses, but did draw a rail, was working well in the past, and had some excuses for sure. So, you know, that horse isn't far behind the top local horses, but I do really think the European horses kind of stand out, but you never know what if they're going to make the adjustment to the U.S. racing, and particular just the start. I mean, a lot of times they get left at the gate, these European turf horses. So they're not locks, but if they get a good trip, if one of those two, especially if Miss Extra gets a trip, I think she'll be tough to beat.
I do want to add, just because I didn't mention the horse, So, you know, if it comes in and I say I'm alive in the pick five, that's the reason. Four Warren Showtime is fast enough to win this race and just got a good workout report. So I would also include that horse. I mean, I'm going skinny in two races, so I'm allowed to go deep in this race, and I don't want to leave any horse off that I think has a chance to win.
I never can argue with using a lot of horses in a mile and eighth turf race. I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, and this is the first time that Warren Showtime is going that distance, but I don't see why the horse would have any problem with it. Okay, let's move to the marquee event. It's the 10th race, the TBG Pacific Classic Grade 1, mile and a quarter on dirt, purse of a half million, three-year-olds and up. Chris, can you beat Maximum Security?
Well, I mean, this is almost a repeat of the last race where the top three faced each other. They're going a little longer. Now Maximum Security has a race under his belt. That was a weird run race. I mean, Maximum Security broke like a shot, like he was going to control the race, and then Midcourt rushed up, I think surprised Sadio, grabbed the lead, and then Pratt tried to do this little clever thing where he had to move up and sort of pinch or to trap Maximum Security on the rail, which, as Duke said, probably wasn't where he wanted to be. And Sadio didn't want to get stuck on the rail, so he sort of took up a little bit and dropped back two or three lengths and then moved to the outside. And then eventually Maximum Security ground away and got to midcourt late. I would expect Maximum Security, he's got a better post this time. They probably have to send midcourt from the rail, and I'm guessing Sadio will try to just kind of stalk and keep midcourt pinned down there on the rail and then just, you know, make his move late. If they go too fast early, maybe Higher Power, who likes going the mile and a quarter, I think the last was more of a prep for him, you know, maybe he has a shot. But it just seems like Maximum Security is the best horse, and he'll get the right trip. And I have a hard time going against him in here. I'm not saying he's invincible, but he looks pretty strong to me. So I kind of liked him last time, and I think he's even stronger going into this race. So five Maximum Security would be the one I like in here.
Okay, Duke, your turn. Can you beat him?
I think he's beatable. I mean, I think he's the most likely winner of the race, just because I think he's going to get the right trip today. I think midcourt will go to the lead from the inside. I assume Espinosa will go there and try to wire the field. And Maximum Security will just probably just stalk most of the way. The horse that I think maybe can turn the tables a little bit, I'm not sure he's good enough to beat them, but I think Higher Power can at least get closer. He didn't really get the best of trips last time. I thought it was a weird ride by Pratt trying to even trap Maximum Security. I thought that was a weird move. I don't even know what he was trying to do there. But I just think today he might be able to just, it'll, you know, just back off them. When Maximum Security goes after midcourt, maybe he can just, if they go too hard, maybe he can pick up the pieces and just maybe run them down, but it's probably not likely. I would probably lean on Maximum Security, but Higher Power would be the one I would try to beat him with. I don't think anybody else has any chance.
Okay, well, I also couldn't beat Maximum Security. I was all set to pick Higher Power in this race, knowing the last race was going to be a prep. And it was really disappointing. I thought the race was very disappointing on his part. I get it. He didn't have that great of a trip, but boy, he really didn't look like he had much run in him. And I'm wondering if he's needs another layoff, or that the race two back was a little bit too fast for him. So I'm not going to use him. I'll single Maximum Security. But if there's a way I can humanly do it, and I don't think so, but I'm kind of interested in Dark Vader. I think that he looks like he's coming around to the best race of his life. He has always been fast. And let me see what I have. He steadily progresses a five-year-old. and his first race back off a layoff was as fast as his best race as a four-year-old. And his best race as a four-year-old was a mile and an eighth at Prairie Meadows. So I would at least put him underneath the Exacta and maybe play around, maybe play some small ticket with him as a pick five blow up horse, but probably not. But I like his chances to get second. So that's maximum security over Dark Vader.
It's too bad this race had to come up such a small field. I mean, I'd like to see a few more horses in this race. It's just unfortunate that we just got the, just maximum security, bid court, and higher power. I don't think the other horses are fast enough. I mean, I hope Dark Vader runs well, but I just don't have any numbers on him being nearly fast enough.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, go ahead, Scott.
No, I was going to say, like, he's definitely slower, but I like the look of him. While you continue to comment, Chris, I'll look to see if there's anything else I liked about him.
I just was going to say, to me, if you want to throw in another horse, to me, Sharp Samurai and Dark Vader clearly aren't fast enough to compete with the top three. Doesn't mean they couldn't clunk up past one of them, but you know, they're clearly lower. But I mean, you have that Argentinian horse you don't know anything about, so. And if you want to throw something in, that would be the one I'd throw in. It didn't look that bad in that the afternoon workout they did. It wore a funny looking mask blinkers, but you know, it wasn't a bad workout. So who knows? Maybe that horse has some run in it. But to me, this is a race where you single maximum security. And like Duke said, I agree with him. Higher power, the only one that might threaten him. I don't see him beating maximum security. Unless maximum security throws a clunker for some reason, but you know, maybe you play that Exacta, but I don't see how it pays anything in such a small field.
So just a couple more things on Dark Vader. Aside from running his best number, it doesn't look that good because he finished third, but I think it was his highest buyer. It tied to be his highest buyer, or it's one off his highest buyer. And that was against McKinsey in the Triple Brand. And then he won his next race and he regressed, but he still won it at Del Mar. So he's one for one at the track. And since then he's got sensational workouts. I mean, 59.4, 59 flat bullet, best out of 95. And I don't know if I looked at the workout reports on this one. They have him as a B, and they say gritty Urton trainee made up a city block on Yakteen trainee Big Talker, finishing up gamely to the pressure. So now they also love maximum securities workouts too. So, but I just, you know, Dark Vader is, that's just the horse I like in second, but I understand why everybody has their doubts.
And not to spend a lot of time on the favorite, but yeah, on the workouts, you know, you can watch those XB TV workouts. And I think definitely maximum security looks better going into this race than he did going into his last race. So he definitely looks like and I would think under the hard kind of training that Baffert does, it took a while for him to adjust to that. It's so different than what he was experiencing under Jason's service. So, I do think, you know, it seems like all systems are go for maximum security, but again, it's going to be 3-5. So I'm not too excited about that, but in terms of the pick five, I think you can single him.
All right. Well, we have another wide open race coming up in the 11th. It's an allowance optional claiming, this one on the turf, mile and 16th, first of 57,000 for 3-year-olds and up. And Duke, where did you land here?
Well, here's a race where there's not a ton of speed. I'm trying to think. I think Alstini didn't break last time, who normally goes to the lead. He ran a remarkable race somehow. He's probably not going to do that today. I think he's going to be probably on the lead or very close to it. So With that being said, I think the contenders are Ostini, Shadow Sphinx, and Salvatore Mundi. I thought those three were the top three in this race. If they leave Ostini alone on the lead, I think he's got a very big chance. I just don't know where that last race came from. It came out of nowhere. Maybe it wasn't the greatest competition because it was against Calbreds, but still it was remarkable that he could get squeezed and still win from last. Shadow Sphinx, I think, is definitely the horse to beat. I mean, his race at Santa Anita on figures is just faster than everyone else. That, you know, I have him running in the low 90s last time, and it was just a very impressive race. He's got Pratt. And Salvatore Mundi, I thought, got in a little bit of trouble last time. And this might be a little bit lesser of a field, I think, than he was facing last time. I thought that was a very good race. So if he stays out of trouble, I think it's probably most likely winners are Shadow Sphinx and Salvatore Mundi, but Ostini would be my third choice.
Okay. One reason Ostini may have woken up last race, it was the first time in 2 years that he did not wear blinkers. So maybe he just hated them all that time.
The blinkers on.
Chris,
maybe
where did you land?
Might not.
Oh yeah, he might not. He may actually prefer to do what he did last race.
Yeah, he might not. I didn't even. That was a good pickup. I didn't realize he took blinkers off. Maybe he will go back. That's interesting.
Yeah, I would agree with that. That he won, and it was with blinkers off, and he completely reversed the running style. He gets a different rider this time, who's a little more. He's an aggressive rider, but still, you would think at least the instructions won't be a go to the lead. You know, they'll probably say break alertly, which I think helps Shadow Sphinx because both those two are probably the speed in the race, right? And those two might be content to kind of just, take a leisurely stroll on the front end and sort of control the race if nobody else pushes the pace. So I kind of agree with everything that Duke said, although to me, there's quite a few other horses who are dangerous in here. This to me is the spread race in the sequence. This is one I'll use quite a few. The ones he mentioned, but I'll throw in a few more that I think are certainly potentially could win. I'll mention a couple, and that's all. I'll turn over to Scott, and then I can come back because I could talk about quite a few. The 7 horse, 3 a.m., I like him quite a bit. He's the other one that has some speed. So if they don't go too fast, you know, he could get a good position sitting in behind the 3 and the 4. He seems to be running in the top form. He has some numbers that fit in here. There's no reason why he couldn't win the race. And the 6 horse, Colossi, had a pretty tough trip last time and has some excuses in past races. Gets a good rider upgrade, gets Cedillo back on board, and, you know, I think has a lot of upside and could run a big race in here, but he'll be coming from farther out, and if they go slow early, that won't help him much, although closers do pretty well on the Del Mar turf course, although it sounds like Duke seems to think it's drying out now and maybe is starting to favor speed more, so that won't help him much, but I think the 6 and the 7 certainly could win this race as well. And there are a few others, too, that you'd have to include, I think, if you're playing the pick 5. But I'll turn it over to Scott.
Well, I'm going to use all of your horses, the both of you. Plus, I'm going to add a couple. but first, I'll put my top pick in. I decided to go with Ostini. Not only, one reason why she was or he was off the pace is because he was off a little bit slow and then he got sandwiched between two horses. So that spoiled the trip a little bit, but it turned out to be good because they ran really fast up front, super fast, like 150 time form, early time form speed figure, pace figure. He encountered some traffic in the stretch, but he navigated it well and, like, you know, did a little do-si-do there and still accelerated once he was in the clear. So I like this, you know, without the blinkers. When a horse makes a change and improves, but doesn't improve too much, that's an angle that you want to keep riding. And so he's 15-1 and he's got a good post. And if he breaks well, I feel like now he can make his own trip. It doesn't have to have the lead. The other horse that I was keen on was 3 AM. The trainer has been kind of cold lately, but this horse is like knocking on the door. Looks like he's set to improve as a four-year-old. I have not had a chance to see his last race yet, but I think he's a must-use. And then because I fully hope to be alive into this leg, there's a couple other horses that I would add to the pick five mix. Tiberius Mercurius has a pattern that says he could run well today. I'm also, just based on the numbers, because it's such a wide-open race, I don't want to throw anybody out just because of post. I'm also interested in Southern King, Desmond Doss, and M-Town Gem.
So was there any horse that you didn't include in that list, Scott?
I don't know. I'm scrolling through here. I don't. Is there any horse? Yeah, I know. That's the horse you should take, right? It's the one, Bold Endeavor.
So, yeah, Endeavor, I agree, though. This is spread race to me. I don't think you want to lean on anybody too heavily. Just one note on, if you want to watch a fun replay, watch Salvatore Mundi's last race. I mean, he was zigging and zagging and zagging and zigging all through the stretch. I think it was so obvious he'll get overbet off that race, but it was pretty adventuresome stretch run that he had in his last start.
Yeah, I agree. He had a rough trip last time. He's probably the one I will key on, just because. You might be right. He might be a little overplayed, but I mean, Shadow Sphinx has got to take money too. So, I mean, they're probably going to be the two favorites. I'm probably not going to spread because I just don't really like any of these other horses. I think they're a little bit slower, and I can spread in other races.
So on your numbers, you have like 3 AM as being slower than the 4 and the 5.
3 a.m. I thought regressed off the trainer change. I thought he went backwards his last two starts. So, I mean, he got a fast pace to run at last time and just kind of clunked up. I didn't think that was a very good race, no. And Colossi I had is much slower. So that's why I went away from those two. I thought Ostini, I thought, ran fast last time. But I what Scott said, that pace was fast in that race. So he might have benefited, but I don't know. It was just a freaky race that Ostini raced last time. It was just so different than what I'm used to with him. So I don't, you know, he's a tough one to throw out. I just don't know what to do with him.
Well, there is one other horse I like. Scott mentioned him, but I'd like to get your take on it too, Duke. Is on this 10 horse Desmond Doss. I thought his last race was pretty good. I mean, he didn't win, but it was off the layoff. It was the best race of his life. And, you know, I just thought he could improve off that. And,
well, hey,
you know,
he
it is a trainer change.
Yeah, right?
What? Yeah, it is a trainer change.
Race,
Go ahead. No, I was just saying that there was a trainer change. It was kind of a negative, but he ran well off the layoff with the new trainer. So I just thought maybe second off the layoff, that horse was kind of interesting. He's never really run a bad race. I mean, he's getting kind of improved every start, so.
Yeah, I'd like him more than I like 3 a.m., that's for sure.
I never really think of Stephen Miotti as a good trainer, but he's a 19% lifetime trainer. It's pretty good. That's a pretty good record.
Yeah, just going from D'Amato, though, is the only thing. You know, that's not a positive barn switch. I'm not saying he's a bad trainer, just I'm usually a little bit leery if they go away from D'Amato, but the comeback race was good, I thought. It was a nice off a long layoff. Race, and you would think he could move forward off that, and if he does, you know, he could be a threat.
Miotti, I believe, was and D'Amato, I believe they were both Mike Mitchell assistants, so I don't think there's any problem with either one of them.
I didn't realize that he was under Mitchell. So yeah, that's the other one.
Hello?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm
there.
Okay. I talked over Duke like three times there in the last 2 minutes, so I decided I better shut up.
I've done it too.
Yeah, we've had some technical issues here, so like we're like, are you still there?
Yeah.
All right. Any other plays on the day, you guys? I didn't look at any other races, but there are a couple other stakes on there.
Duke? I haven't looked at them yet. I think my bet, if I were giving out best bets in the sequence, I would definitely take Kershaw. I think Kershaw is gonna run lights out in the eighth race.
Oh, another reason for me to find a way to use him. I don't know if I can, but I might be able to with Max Security.
Yeah, if he wins and take the 101, run second, I'll do okay. I'll play a saver with him, and I'll include him on my pick fives. But to me, those are the two in that race. I think that's a good race to play, actually. That's probably the best individual betting race, you know, as a vertical play on the card, I think, is probably that eighth at Del Mar.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that is the best betting race.
And it's an allowance optional claimer. So it's not only the stakes are good to bet. Well, we'll wrap it up then. I'd like to thank our guest, Duke Matisse. Duke, thanks for waking up early and handicapping with us.
Yeah, it was a pleasure. Thanks for having me anytime. Anytime I'd love to help you out or be on again. And it was fantastic. Hopefully we give out a few winners. That's all.
Yeah. That's, did you miss a tee time because of this? Were you supposed to be on the golf course?
No, I played
right
yesterday. I played yesterday, not today. Today's big race day. We got Gulfstream coming up in Saratoga and Del Mar. So we're going to be in the bunker all day betting some races.
All right. Well, good luck on that. And that will conclude show number 78 of the Sport of Kings pod. Have a great Pacific Classic day, and please enjoy the Brooklyn Boogaloo Blowout.
I'll see you on Sport of Kings. Cheers.
Thanks, guys.